Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Suderstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, April 14th, 2014, on the eve of the blood moon. So if you're not cloudy, you'll be able to get a view of that this evening. And let's see what it did to gold today. Well, we were up 870 today at 1328. 1328 up 870. We have silver up 2 cents at 2009. Platinum was up 12 bucks today at 1467. Palladium again taking another tour above 800. 811 at up $4 to the positive. USDX today, what was up? 0.24, 79.73. Looked like everything was in the green today except crude oil. It's down 20 cents at 103.55. And the paper markets did the same thing today. They all climbed higher. All on Citigroup earnings. Woohoo! Citigroup. Got to have good earnings coming out of Citigroup. That was the way. That was the only way they could get 146 points on the Dow at 16,173. The Nasdaq up 22 at 4,022, and the S&P up 14 at 1803, along with the 10-year yield 2.64% up 0.02, and you did have a 1.1% rise in the U.S. retail sales in March. And that was the biggest in 18 months. Boosted sentiment. Hey, hey, everything is great. And, of course, the better-than-expected earnings from Citibank. And, of course, we've seen a lot of sell-off. It's beginning to heat up in Ukraine once again. You really don't know what the truth is coming out of there. Ukraine is saying you have all these Russian troops, but then again, you can hear and read about not so true, not so much, but things are certainly heating up there. Of course, there could be more sanctions against Russia and affecting the energy trade. And, of course, I don't know why, again, we talk about this. I don't know why Europe would put more sanctions on Russia when they get product from them. But Ukraine's got to pay their bill. They owe Russia a couple billion bucks. So, hey, if they paid the bill, things would probably be a little bit nicer. But, hey, if you have a bill you don't want to pay, start a fight. Right, Al?
Well, I guess that's one way to get away from it, especially if you're successful. I guess, you know, a lot of wars are allegedly started for those kinds of reasons. Maybe all of them are. I don't know. But they come up with, they tell us it's for patriotic reasons and one thing or another, but it's usually about the money one way or another. Either one of the participants in the war, they want to steal money from the other operation, or one of the participants doesn't want to pay or can't pay money it owes to the other one. All about the money. You know, it's like being married or something. That's what it's like when you find yourself in international politics. They talk about the morals and one thing or another like that, and the patriotism and historical reasons, but it's usually about the money. That's what it's usually about. So.
The money, the money, the money.
Right.
Money rules the world, runs the world. And speaking of money,
yeah.
I have some good news.
Hmm.
The Affordable Care Act health insurance. It's going to cost a little less than previously thought.
How much less?
This is the funny part. The Congressional Budget Office predicts that health insurance subsidies under the so-called Obamacare plan will total a little more than $1 trillion over the next 10 years. Remember that number? They had originally said it would cost $1.2 trillion. That was initially estimated.
About
an 8%, yeah, an 8% cut. That's like if you have $100 and you're going to cut it by 8%, it drops it to whole $92. So, woohoo, a lot of savings there. The plans offered on the exchanges pay health care providers less. They're going to have tighter management of patients' treatment options. And that's a scary thought.
Yeah, that's a real scary thought. That's the one that'll really cut the costs, because they'll tighten up the treatment options until the death rate increases to a point where Obamacare becomes affordable.
That's right. Exactly. So, you kill them, and you get lower premiums, and Medicaid adds almost $800 billion in cost over the decade, which I think they're going to, you know, this $1 trillion, $1.2 trillion, those numbers are low, folks, you know, unless, of course, they kill enough, and, you know, but the health care law reduces the deficit because of tax hikes, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, that is a scary thought, Al.
You know what they used to say, Melody? Dead men tell no tales. Now it's dead men collect no insurance. That's the modern variation on that old saying. What else do we have?
And it's just funny that just people, I mean, they just really don't get it. They just don't really get it.
A lot of people don't. It is surprising.
Oh, they would never do that. You're in America. That wouldn't happen. Are you crazy?
Tell it to the Branch Davidians. Tell it to the survivors of 9/11. I mean, there's at least half the people in this country don't believe that we've got a straight accounting of what happened on 9/11. How many people believe the Kennedy assassination? What happened there with the magic bullet that turned in several different directions and hit three people, if I recall correctly, before it finally wound up as a nearly pristine bullet laying on the stretcher next to the president when he arrived at Parkland Hospital here in Dallas. There's a lot of strange things that go on in this world, and it's as you get older, as I get older, you find yourself, you know, a little bit like Kurtz, who was the central character in a novelette called Heart of Darkness that was used as a basis for the movie Apocalypse Now. The character was played by Marlon Brando. And at one point at the end of the movie, his final words are, "The horror, the horror." You know, you actually do reach a point as you get older where you begin to perceive the world in a way that you did not imagine, you know, when you're 50 years old, 40, 30, 20, 10, you know. You see the world as, you're inclined to see the world as a very benign place where reason can predominate. When you get into this deep enough and you keep looking at it and looking at it, and you begin to have some doubt. I mean, we hear reports of assassinations, people being murdered for reasons that are just purely political and purely for an exercise in power. And it's not just a situation that happens in foreign countries. We hear reports don't know if they can't say that they're true. I'm not trying to promote a conspiracy theory per se, but there's enough evidence around to make you understand that more than a few people in positions of power in this country have no real objection to murdering people in this country. Doesn't bother them. Part of business. All right, part of politics. It's the way it goes on. We aren't going to get solid evidence in most cases to support these kinds of conspiracy theories. But we've got a situation with a man named Cliven Bundy in Nevada, where the Bureau of Land Management tried to rustle his cattle, and there was concern that they would try to shoot Mr. Bundy and perhaps some of his family before it was all over. And we don't know exactly what their motives were or how far they intended to go. But we do know that somebody dug up some information that implicated Harry Reid, who is senator, senior United States senator from Nevada, and implicated his son, Rory, involved in some scheme with Chinese solar energy manufacturers who wanted the land in and about the Bundy situation to install some sort of a solar energy generation plant. Huh? And Rory Reid was allegedly conspiring to help make this happen, and they had to get rid of Cliven Bundy in order to make this happen. And now, it's a true story. It's a credible rumor. We don't know what the matter is yet, but the implication is that when this came out, Senator Harry Reid may have put a kibosh on it because, not because he was afraid that somebody would die, but because he was afraid it would come out that he was associated with their deaths and it would be bad for elections. I don't even know if he's running in this November's election. I don't know if he's a candidate or not, but at least for the Democrats, and would be painted tarred with the Harry Reid brush if this went bad. What's the truth of the matter? I don't know that we're ever going to find out, but these rumors are sufficiently credible where it may be that's what's happening. And the reason that the feds backed off may be primarily they didn't want to be exposed. They didn't want Senator Reid to be exposed or implicated in what may result in the murder of some American people. Now, is that true? Is it false? It's conjectural. I'll give you that. But it's not just fantasy.
Well, I have read reports, too, and it's just it. It takes time to learn the truth.
If ever.
I mean, if ever. And I have read some reports where there was an agreement with this turbine, solar, but it was far more south with the agreement, and it didn't have anything to do with the land that he was using for his cattle. It was much further south in Nevada. Again, it's just the agreement was there, and the sun and that part of the story, but the part of the country was a little off. But we don't know. But let me tell you something. Here's a story of a Vermont couple who they had a farm, and that became a vocal point in a fight against construction of a 21 turbine industrial wind project on Lowell Mountain. They were selling their 540-acre farm to Green Mountain Power, and this is Vermont, I don't know if I said Vermont, for $1.3 million. They had agreed to settle a lawsuit over a boundary dispute filed against them by this Green Mountain Power. Don and Shirley Nelson said they felt they could have won in court, but it would not have led to the removal of the now operating turbines. And so they tried to fight. You give up. It was a 2011 lawsuit that grew out of a series of protests along this property line. And they've been forced off your property by a foreign-owned corporation. I think this corporation, the parent corporation, is Canadian. And they suggest they were paid for the property, but money runs a poor second to beauty, peace, quiet, and a love for your land. So it's not the only place where, you know, the people are having problems with acreages and being taken over in disputes. And you have the eminent domain that can be a factor. So it happens, as it happened to this Vermont couple.
Well, I know it goes on, and it's part and parcel of an increasingly open antagonism between the government and the American people. Now, a lot of people don't see it and wouldn't agree with that statement. I understand that. But the number of people who do understand and agree with that statement is growing. And it's becoming increasingly significant. I don't know what the percentages are, how many people agree with that statement and how many disagree. I have no idea. But I have no doubt that the number of people who agree is growing. They see our relationship with government as adversarial. They see the government as determined not to do what's best for the American people, and no one can make a compelling argument that this government is working for the best interest of the American people. It is working to increase its own power. It's working to serve whatever special interests it's tied up with. And it's working to do all of this at the expense of the American people. The middle class is being lost. Jobs are being sent overseas. Illegal aliens are being encouraged to invade this country. It's a little insufficient. An insufficient amount's being done to stop them. It's hard to point to anything government has done in recent times that ultimately benefits the average American. Now, they're going to claim Obamacare is good for the American, the average American. Well, we'll watch and see. By the time the costs are absorbed, calculated, understood, and the rest of that, you may find out that Obamacare is a terrible expense that can't be afforded, but that's just financially. You know, we're talking and joking earlier in the program about the idea that Obamacare may get a bunch of us killed for lack of adequate medical care. And there's a good chance that's true. What's that worth? What's the cost there? Why are we risking a program that actually may cause more of us to die and generally shorten our life expectancy? It's because we have a government that's not here to do what's best for we the people. It's here to do what's best for government and or its special interests, but that's all. What do you got, Melody? 40 seconds until we take a break?
40 seconds in. I think when we're going to come back, I think we're going to talk about wheat futures. We're going to talk about the soaring prices of beef that people are seeing. Oh, no inflation. Oh, absolutely not. But we're going to see the rising prices of beef and some other products. We'll be talking about... Actually, these are record high beef prices are here to stay, they say.
Yeah, I wonder if the farmers are getting record high prices.
Can't imagine.
Well, probably not. There'll be other people making the record high profits. I doubt that it's the farmers, but we'll find out. We'll talk a little about it when we come back in a moment to financial survival. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom, and we'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. 229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom, and Melody's about to tell us what?
We're going to continue the special. Mint State 63 $5 Liberty gold piece of $625 with a free Silver Eagle. And, of course, all of our trades from here out on for the month of April will receive a free Silver Eagle with each trade. But with the Mint State 63 $5 Liberty, $625, gold prices are up, but we are keeping these the same. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Remember, we got, as far as I know, pretty much as long as it's a legitimate business, we have the lowest prices in Silver Eagles. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Well, before the break, we were talking about beef prices at a record high. Plus, you have other staples, food staples, such as milk and butter, eggs, fruit, vegetables. They're all climbing. We've had severe drought across California, and California is a huge producer of our staples. A pound of ground beef is hitting $3.55 a pound. That's a record high, even when adjusted for inflation. And that's according to government readings for February. That's up 56% since 2010. The average for a round steak is at $5.28, among the highest prices seen in the last 20 years. In February, beef posted the biggest month-over-month price increase in more than a decade, and they're blaming it on bad weather. But growing demand for U.S. beef from overseas markets like Asia, they say that's a big factor driving up prices. He's the economist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And again, as these societies, Al, become wealthy, their diets do change.
Yeah, I understand
they,
that.
They do change. And
see, the Chinese, they're only modestly wealthy. They're eating more of things like steak. When they get really wealthy, then they'll be eating ho-hos, ding-dongs, and Cheetos.
Yes, you're
that's
right.
The mark of a really advanced society. You understand?
Actually, someone I know who told me, they I think it was a report. Who was the guy that did the Corvairs?
Don't know.
That had the problem with the Corvairs.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Come on, Al.
No, I can't tell you. I know what you're talking about, but I can't think of his name.
But he wrote a report or paper about a society when they become to the point you talk about ding-dongs and things like that. The staples, their food change, their diets change. When you begin to have food competition is another sign that you become through this. And we see this here in the States. Look how many food channels have appeared on cable. And most of those programs are about competing in cooking and so forth. So not just the competition of how many hot dogs you can eat on July 4th or how many apple pies you can beat the competitor, but food cooking competitions. And I thought that is interesting.
The name you were looking for was Ralph Nader.
Who told you?
I just
Googled it.
I remember that the name. I remember the name of the book, Unsafe at Any Speed. That's what he said. That's what he said. Yes, I Googled it while you were talking. So.
Oh, thank you, Al.
See, this Google thing. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of things that as you get older, you forget.
But when you get this
Google thing sitting in front of you, you don't exactly need to remember. You know, you could just type it a little bit. If you can remember any clue, it'll come up. It's really pretty amazing. Google search capability really does amaze me. You can type in questions that a lot of people would look at and they say, what do you mean by that? And Google seems to understand and they come up with the answers for you.
So if you think there's a radio host out there that has a terrific memory,
he's obsolete. Really, we don't need him anymore.
All it is he has a computer with him and he types it as he's able to multitask. He's able to talk and Google and come up with your answer. And
maybe so.
Yes. But we are truthful. We admit that our memory fails. But let's get back.
Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. It depends.
Let's get back to this. For California, we all know that they're suffering from extreme drought conditions, and we talk about how they're a major producer of milk, eggs, fruit, and vegetables. Those prices haven't gotten bad yet, but the drought is sort of like a wild card. These commodities all have the potential to be significantly impacted by it. And one thing, Al, when you have this problem, we talk about inflation. They lie about inflation. The prices are – it surprises me when I go to the store how little I get in a major.
Yeah, no.
And I'm single, so I probably don't – you know, when I purchase things, I don't look at the price all the time. And when I get to check out, I think to myself, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that this is the price. But once you get these higher prices, they don't go back down.
No. No, I understand. Part of the reason for that, of course, and even not just part of the reason, fundamental reason, is not so much that the price of food is going up, but the purchasing power of the dollar is going down. That's what we're really looking at. We're not going to see prices go down until the value of the dollar, the purchasing power of the dollar, begins to go back up. And governments, although they try to maintain this 80 line in the U.S. dollar index, they try to hold the dollar above 80 on the U.S. dollar index. Nevertheless, inflation is taking place. The U.S. dollar index, to my mind, is, you know, are generating an artificial result. It's not generating a legitimate indication of the purchasing power of the dollar, how it's changing, but you do see it in the real world. At least you see it at the grocery store. And I'm amazed. You know, I go grocery shopping and I pay attention to prices. I mean, I'm not obsessive about it, but it's like, holy cow.
Yep. You know? Well, I find it like in the it's just amazing. And they do. We've talked about this. They cut the packages shorter. They put less food in there, or they'll keep the box and give you less. Or they it's and people just go merrily on their way.
It's almost amazing. It really is amazing how people can simply deal with this in a way where they are just oblivious to the evidence that's around them. And this is an important point because What we see at the grocery store is a signal of what's to come. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen the end of higher prices at the grocery store. We've seen the beginning of higher prices at the grocery store. And the higher prices are coming in large measure because the paper dollar is slowly spiraling down the tube. It's becoming less valuable, despite government's best efforts to deny that truth. It's becoming persistently less valuable. It's the kind of thing that should strike fear into the minds and hearts of anyone who thinks, oh, I've got enough money saved up for my retirement. Well, you better have a bunch, because I guarantee you eggs are going to be a lot more expensive over the course of the next several years than they are now. And if you think you've got enough money to have, you know, a couple eggs and bacon every day for breakfast when you retire, maybe not. And if you think you've got enough money to pay your rent, if you're renting when you retire, or mortgage, if you still have any mortgage when you retire, maybe not. And the evidence of that, and the evidence that you should be concerned, it's not true that you need to be fearful. I use the word fear. That's not necessary. I won't argue that that's correct. That's excessive, perhaps. But you need to be concerned. You need to be wary, anxious, and you need to get involved to where you understand these things and you can see the evidence for it. You don't have to believe me or Melody. Go grocery shopping. Go grocery shopping and pay attention to what you're paying today and a month from now and 3 months from now and a year from now. Pay attention. And when you see that, you begin to reason it out, you should sit back and have one of those uh-oh moments where you say, you know, I better get my stuff together, because we have problems heading in our direction.
We have Bob in Iowa. He writes us, he says, I'm not an authority on cattle, but I believe that much of the price increase in beef can be attributed to the farmers and ranchers culling their herds the previous few years due to the drought conditions in the Southwest, Texas, and much of the Midwest. Pork prices the past weeks have increased due to a virus. Yes, that's correct. That has cost the lives of many piglets. Very true. And he says, yes, Al, the farmers and ranchers are being squeezed by these situations.
That's the price is going up, and he's right, because the drought is certainly contributing to that. So prices are going up because there's less land available, there's less green grass available, there's less water available, the cows, you know, there's more stress and fewer cows. That's exactly right. But the price is going up at your end and my end, all right, at the grocery store. I wonder, don't know. But I wonder how much the price is going up at the farmer's end where they grow the cattle. I would suspect, without knowing, it would be my suspicion that what's happening is buyers are coming in and recognizing the pressure the farmers are under. They can't afford to import hay. They can't grow enough of their own to feed the cattle. Can't afford to import hay. Therefore, they have to sell the cattle at a reduced price. Farmers are getting squeezed. Somebody in the middle is making more money, would be my guesstimate. It seems to be the way of the world. And you and I are definitely paying higher prices. Because, and not only paying higher prices, getting lower quality.
Because we so willingly do. And you also had wheat futures. They rose very sharply, blamed on the cold weather in the U.S. and the tensions in Ukraine. Ukraine is a big producer of grains, and wheat has been rising sharply. It's up about 12% so far this year. And Kansas and Oklahoma, they could have an impact on the wheat crop as it is coming out of from winter dormancy. The threat of wheat exports from Ukraine being interrupted because of the ongoing tensions. So again, you know, corn, soybean, their futures also rose. So things are getting way, and this is, you know, when we talk about things coming undone in 2014 and 2015, again, Al, this is the beginning, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. You just see these things, they're happening around you, and people look at this and they just say, oh, the price of eggs went up. Okay. Or, oh, the price of beef went up. Or the price of whatever. I can remember around Christmas time, I looked at the price of a pecan pie. It was like $17 for a pecan pie in the grocery store. People look at that, and all they see is the price of a pecan pie. All they see is the rising price of beef. All they see is the rising price of eggs or bacon or salads, They don't make the connection and realize the implications that this is one dot in a series of dots that are connected and interrelated. And you can learn a lot about what's happening in the economy just by paying attention to the price of beef or chicken or eggs or whatever, right? It's not just a thing in itself. It is both a symptom and perhaps a cause for other things, but it's certainly related to the entire economic system. And if you're willing to pay attention, you can be guarded. You can be aware and prepared. On the other hand, if all you see is, gee, the price of beef went up, that's not good enough. It's not going to protect you in what may be difficult times.
And again, the hedge against inflation, because you're not going to get it out of your pensions. You won't receive the adjustment with a 0.001% you get from the banks. So you need something to hedge against the higher inflation that's coming. And it's time proven. And yes, gold and silver. I mean, it's the NASDAQ is on its way back to 3,000. We went over the markets earlier today.
Well, it's a question. Is the NASDAQ on its way back to 3,000? Well, it's from WallStreet.com. And it says it wasn't very long ago that the NASDAQ was below 3,000. That was December of 2012. More important, not very much has changed in terms of the general economy and company earnings since then. In other words, the foundation of NASDAQ at $4,000 is weak. That alone could trigger huge correction. What they're saying here is that NASDAQ has increased by a third, gone up over a third in its value from 3,000 to 4,000, over 4,000. But there hasn't been obvious reason in the markets to justify that increase. All right, why did that happen? The economy is pretty much the same place it was in 2012. What justified NASDAQ going up 1,000 points, going from 3,000 to 4,000? Anyone know? And the answer is some sort of government manipulation. Now, what they just say here is whatever. They don't tell us that in this article, but they do say the foundations of NASDAQ at 4,000 are weak. That alone could trigger a huge correction. NASDAQ made its way to the 4,336 in March. Since then, it's dropped below 4,000. A lot of the fall has been blamed on overvaluation of Web 2.0 stocks and biotechs. Other parts are blamed on, they attribute it partly to unemployment. Some of the corrections so far, some of the drop we've seen on NASDAQ. But it's important insight that there's not an obvious reason. Why did NASDAQ go from 3,000 to 4,000? It's not because of earnings, okay? Yeah, it's not because the general economy has improved all by itself. That should raise doubt, right? And that by itself may be enough to trigger huge correction. It should trigger a correction the way you're thinking about the NASDAQ at this time, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstraw on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188.
People.
Let's talk a little about pensions, Melody, unless you want to get on something else. What do you
have? Before we go to pensions, food stamp recipients outnumber women who work full time. 2012.
You count the number of women who had full time jobs in 2012, and today we have more food stamp recipients than we had women working full-time back then.
There were 46 million, 46 plus people participating in the food stamp program. That contrasts with the 44 million women who work full-time in 2012. For each woman who worked full-time year-round 2012, there was slightly more than one person collecting food stamps. 2013, the average number of people on stamps increased to 47 million. And so, folks, things are getting better, right, Al?
No, they're not. They are being papered over. You know, people just, they say, yay, we're getting food stamps. Well, yay, how much longer do you suppose that's going to last? Those of you who are on food stamps should not be simply thanking the government that you are getting a break on the price of your food. And I know most people, that's the way most people react. You should be wondering why it is you don't have a job in the first place that can provide a decent living. Right? Why is it you need food stamps? It's the very same people who are providing the food stamps who are not providing you with jobs. And I don't mean that it's government's obligation to create jobs for you and me. But they do have an obligation to stay out of the way and let people in this country create the jobs themselves. And government insists on its ability and wisdom to go ahead and regulate everyone's occupation in ways that make it increasingly difficult for people to hold a job. More and more people are being run out of work by the same government that the people later thinks, oh, thank you for the food stamps. Hey, why don't you wake up? It's not about food stamps. It's about your jobs. If the government wasn't in the way all the time, you'd have a job and you wouldn't need food stamps.
And taxes. And taxes.
Well, that's what it comes down to.
Yep.
You know, again, I talked about it a bunch of times on the program. A couple of economists did a study back 6-8 months ago.
It's probably
calculated
been longer.
It's that
probably been longer than that now, Al.
Well, time flies when you're having fun, and sometimes it flies when you're not having fun, but it flies, that's for sure. Time does not walk, it does not creep. It flies. It may fly at different rates, but it flies.
The only time right? it stands.
Sometimes it flies by jet, and sometimes by propeller, but it flies.
The only time it stands still is when you're in the dentist's chair.
Oh.
Let's go on the pensions of millions of Americans.
Yeah, this is something from the New York Times, one of their subsidiaries or one of their minor publications called Dealbook. I won't even say it's a minor publication, but it's a New York Times publication. And the headline is, Thought Secure, Pooled Pensions Teeter and Fall. The pensions of millions of Americans are being threatened because of trouble in a part of the retirement world long considered so safe that no one gave it a second thought. All right? That's here we have people who have pensions in this particular segment that we're going to talk about who are much like they didn't give things a second thought. Much like people who go to the grocery store and they see the price of beef and they see it's high and they say, golly, is this high? But they don't give it a second thought. And somewhere along the line, I suggest it's going to become necessary for people to think about things and start to spot the connections. The pensions belong to people in multi-employer plans, big pooled investment funds with many sponsoring companies and a union. Multi-employer pensions are not only backed by federal insurance, but they are also thought to be even more secure than single company pensions because when one company in a multi-employer pool failed, the others were required to pick up its orphaned retirees. All right? Today, however, the aging of the workforce, the decline of the unions, deregulation, and two big stock crashes have taken a grievous toll on multi-employer pensions, which cover 10 million Americans. Dozens of multi-employer pension plans have already failed. Some giant ones are teetering, including notably the Teamsters Central States Pension Plan with more than 400,000 members. Well, in February, Federal Congressional Budget Office projected that the federal multi-employer insurer would run out of money in 7 years, which would leave retirees in failed plans with nothing. Unless Congress acts and acts very soon, many plans will fail. More than 1 million people will lose their pensions, and thousands of small businesses will be handed bills they can't pay. That was from the executive director of Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, the federal insurer that pays the benefits to people whose company pension plans fail. If Congress allows the Pension Benefit, the Benefit Guarantee Corporation to get the money and the authority it needs to do its job, then these plans can be preserved. If not, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation will run out of money and multi-employer pensioners will get virtually nothing. All right, and then beyond that, they are now doing something they hadn't thought that was outlawed by ERISA law 40 years ago, and benefits are being cut, all right? And they expect more of them to be cut. And the reason I bring this to your attention in part, well, here part of it says, only a few years ago, it would have been inconceivable that anyone would have their benefits reduced, said Karen W. Ferguson, director of the Pension Rights Center, a watchdog group in Washington. The law hasn't caught up with what's happening here. Now, I'll tell you what, it hasn't.
That for years.
This was not inconceivable to me that people would have their benefits reduced. In fact, I've been implicitly argued that the failure of most pension plans is inevitable. And I've been making that argument since about 2008, since when I first realized and advanced my seemingly simplistic mantra that if it can't be paid, it won't be paid. All right? Sounds stupid. Sounds simple. Sounds obvious. But what it means is if the debt has ever become so great that it can't be paid in full or even substantially, the debt will not be paid. what can't be paid won't be paid. The observation, again, seems obvious and shouldn't even talk about it, but it strikes me as a profound insight. It struck me as a profound insight in 2008 when I first wrote about it, and it still does today. And why would something as obvious as saying what can't be paid won't be paid? What's profound about that? It's profound because virtually everyone in this country operates under the presumption that no matter how large our total debt becomes, our debt can always somehow be paid. Right? That's the problem. Virtually everyone in the country says, oh, we can pay our debt. And what I'm saying is, no, actually we can't. And once you get that point in your mind, all of a sudden, investing becomes fairly simple. Once I realized that the presumption that we could pay our debt was false, my whole investing strategy, you know, just it became obvious to me. The truth became inescapable. Point one, get out of paper debt instruments, because inevitably, the vast majority of those paper debt instruments that... Excuse me. They all memorialize an existing debt. That's what, if you got a piece of paper that says $10, $100, $100,000 on it, you have an IOU. It memorializes a debt. It is a promise to pay, not a payment. We live in a world where the vast majority of those debts can't be paid, and therefore they won't be paid. And that means the pieces of paper that memorialize those debts are going to be shown to be worthless. My estimation is that before this is done, 80 to 90% of the existing debt will wind up being repudiated. That's 80 to 90% of the national debt. It's 80 to 90% of the credit card debt. It's 80 to 90% of the pension funds. The amounts that are deposited in banks, and you say, oh, I've got $100,000 in the bank. Yeah, well, we'll see about that. You just keep leaving the bank, and we'll see if you can collect your $100,000 or not. You may get $10,000, $20,000 before this is all over, but you sit there long enough and you're going to have a problem, in my opinion, with all of these paper debt instruments because there's too many of them. They can't be paid. And I'll show you why before we get done with this or try to see if we got enough time. Second reason. First, you get out of paper, and second, you get into something tangible like gold or silver, whose purchasing power can't be destroyed and might even be enhanced in the event that the debts are canceled, wiped out. Again, one man's debt's another man's asset. If I owe Melody $100,000 and I can't pay the bill, guess what? Melody has been treating my $100,000 promise to pay as an asset. It turns out that it's worthless. Right? Same thing is true with all of you who are holding passbooks and pension accounts and all the rest of this sort of thing. You don't have a payment. You have a promise to pay at a time when there are so many payments that they can't be kept. Why? I began to realize all of this from John Williams back in 2008. And at the time, the numbers are different than they are today, but in broad strokes. Today, the federal government says the national debt is $17.2 trillion. John Williams says, no, it's close to $90 trillion. Congressional Budget Office says it's over $200 trillion if you include unfunded liabilities. Big numbers. $17 trillion, $90 trillion, $200 trillion. What do they mean? For me, the simple way of understanding them is simply divide them by the population. If we've got $17 trillion in national debt and we've got we have 17 million people in this country, then divide 317 million into the $17 trillion national debt and you come up with something like $50,000 per person. All right, ballpark. All right, we could pay $50,000 per person. We can probably do that. A family of four, your fair share of the national debt would be $200,000. Won't be easy. Might take us a decade, maybe two. But we could pay that $50,000 per person. But that's the government's official estimate based on $17 trillion total national debt. John Williams says, no, sorry. Well, the real national debt is now pushing $90 trillion. If John Williams is right, and I believe he is, and a lot of other people agree, If Williams is right, then your fair share, my fair share, the fair share of a little baby that was just born this morning of the national debt is somewhere in the neighborhood of $275,000. If you have a family of four, your fair share of the national debt is going to be what? $1,200,000? That's on top of that's just on the national debt. This doesn't card your credit card or your mortgage payments, your automobile payments, or whatever else, your property taxes or whatever else you're paying. We're talking about $270,000 or thereabouts for every member of your family. How many of you have it? I look around and I'm just saying, that's not there. That debt can't be paid. And that means it won't be paid. And that means that all of the pieces of paper out there that memorialize that debt, people say, oh, yeah, I've got a piece of paper. I've got a government bond. You know how good they are. Yeah, we'll watch and see. I got a 401k. I've got a pension fund. I've got a bank account. I've got a piece of paper here that says somebody owes me some money. Well, I'm betting you that most of those debts can't be paid just because the average man can't come up with $275,000. And that's if John Williams is right. If the Congressional Budget Office is right, the unfunded liabilities are over $200 trillion divided again by the population, and we're talking something like $650,000 per man, woman, and child in this country as their fair share of the national debt. Now, if you can tell me how that's going to be paid, I will agree that the debt can be paid. But until somebody shows me how you're going to squeeze an average of $600,000 or more out of every man, woman, and child in this country, I'm telling you the debt can't be paid. That means it won't be paid. That means those of us who are holding on to these little pieces of paper, sooner or later are going to take it in the neck. You are going to lose 80 to 90% of the wealth you have squirreled away in any of these paper debt institutions. It might not happen. I don't know when. It may not happen this year or next year or the year after that. I can't give you time on this thing. I don't know when it's going to happen, but everyone who looks at this knows we're getting closer all the time. And those of you who are willing to run the risk of hanging on to that paper longer and longer, oh, no, we'll play it. We're so smart. We'll know when to get out. We'll be among the first to get out. We'll play it right up to the end, and then we'll get out and leave the rest of the suckers hanging there, you know, holding an empty bag. Well, I don't think most of us are that smart. I know I'm not, so I get the gold, sit on it, take care of it, and get ready for something inevitable that's not going to be fun. I'm Alfred Addis. We're out of time. Can't go deeper into this at this point in time. I'll be back with Melody Cederstrom mañana on Financial Survival. I hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.